Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
Well, it's been since March since I've been on stage speaking to you guys, and at that point, I was about to head into 60 days of sabbatical. And so I got to share with you, kind of leading in, my preparation for that and what that was going to look like, kind of walk through that with you as my church family. And what I want to do today is kind of a follow-up message to that and let you know what God showed me during those 60 days in my life. As I began prepping for this, I said, well, what did I learn? You know, what really did I get out of 60 days of focusing on my own personal relationship with Jesus and spending time alone? You guys know I was also beginning the writing of a book, which I'm 43,000 words in right now, and not finished yet, but still got work to do. But that's where I am. So I got to walk back through those times in my life that were important to me, thinking about those, considering those, and then let God speak into those parts of my life. So today, what we're going to look at is five things I think stood out to me during those 60 days of sabbatical time, of being away from the regular routine of a job and responsibilities and actually spending time alone with God and letting Him speak into my life. And we're going to use kind of a basis this morning for that is the book of Philippians, which you're going to see multiple verses this morning from that book that where Paul encouraged and challenged those believers who were very important to him. Okay, they were some of his favorites as far as the churches he helped plant. Now, when you see the title up there, it says reconsider. All right, and most of you who are good spellers know that there's not a hyphen in the word reconsider. But I did that intentionally because as we start this morning, it's going to be a lot about me and what I'm sharing with you. As we end, that re is not going to be there anymore. And one reason I included the word re is because that's what my grandchildren call me. They couldn't say Randy when they were little, and my nieces and nephews already had a nickname for me, and it was Riri, which many of them couldn't say their R, so it came out Wee Wee. And so quickly, as my grandchildren have grown, they've shortened it. You know, it's cooler. You know, some of you probably get bruh as a parent. Well, I get re. And so reconsider. So this is what I did for 60 days. I considered what God was doing in my life, where I'd been, the path I'd taken. And so we're going to jump into that, and there's going to be five things. And when I prayed for you guys a while ago, I intentionally wanted to do that because there's so much in this message that you're probably not going to connect with all of it. But I know for each one of you, there's something that you're going to hear this morning. The Holy Spirit's going to speak into you that you need to hear. So if you need to sit there and meditate on that for a while, do that. All right? No one's taking a test. I'm not going to give you a test on these five words that start with F. But here we go. Foundation is important. I grew up in Jinx, Oklahoma. Was there from like the age 5 to 18 until I left for college. And during that time, because of the leadership of my parents and those people in my life who pointed me toward Jesus, I'm the person I am today. And all these stages of life that I've walked through is because I had a good foundation of God's word and what the gospel was about. And so, you know, we think about as grandparents, as parents, as students, you're sitting here, you know, consider, you know, what's your foundation? Is it based on God's word? Is it based on what the gospel says? Or is it based on influences of the world? Where's your foundation? Because it makes a difference. You know, what Joy and Brandon and Doug do with our next generation students is important. That foundation it's setting. But here's the cool thing about a foundation. Even though you're an adult, and your foundation may not be as strong as you want it to be. It may not be supporting all that you're having to deal with in your life right now. Maybe because your concrete's still wet. Continue to work into that foundation to make it solid. strong. But it starts there. And that's one thing I learned going back to Jinx, Oklahoma, and spending 4 days there writing was, man, my foundation set the tone for everything else in my life. You know, and I really, all I thought about is what A. Milne said in this quote. We didn't realize we were making memories. We just knew we were having fun. And that's really how I would describe my growing up, too. When you're in the middle of it, but looking back on it, I'm going, man, my foundation was critical to where I am today. Now, this is a verse in Psalms that if you've heard me speak before, you've probably heard me use it, because I use it often, because it's a marker for me. It's a guide for me in my life. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I go back and I think about that often, because that lamp being something that lights right in front, and I can just take a step and make the next choice, make the next decision. The light hold up a little longer, a little further down the path to know where I'm going. And that's the way I see that David, when he wrote that, was talking about, it's important, that light of Jesus Christ, of the gospel in our lives, gives us direction in both ways, short and long. And then the Philippians verse here, Paul says to the Philippians right off in chapter 1, he says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it or complete it until that day of Jesus Christ." I hope I'm still in the process of being perfected or completed. But I know back in Jinx, Oklahoma, from age 5 to 18, it began. That's when I received Christ. That's when I chose to follow him. That foundation was set, but it's not over yet. My following of Jesus Christ is not completed. It's not perfected. And so as Paul wrote these words to the Philippians, he's saying the same thing to them. He began a good work in you. Allow him to continue to work in you to complete what he began. So here's the question for you guys to consider. Is your foundation supporting your circumstances? We all have unique circumstances right now. All of us. Different, unique places and things we're having to deal with. Is your foundation supporting those circumstances? Or is your foundation somewhere else and kind of making them unstable? You're not sure where to turn. You're not sure what to stand on. Consider that. Freedom provides opportunity. Baker up there, Baker University is where I went to college, in Baldwin City, Kansas. And that's where I really learned to follow Jesus. Because why? I'm on my own. I'm not at mom and dad's house anymore. My faith is not their faith that I'm just latching onto. Now I'm stepping away in freedom and going, okay, what do I do now? Now I can revert back. I've got a good foundation. I can live in this freedom that I now have to step out into the world and experience new things. And what I found out, this quote is true too. Julie B. Harrison said, "We came as strangers, we became friends, and we left as family." You know, that's our experience a lot of times in college. You college students over here, you guys had junior high, elementary friends, you had high school friends. But those friends you're making right now, they become family. You know, I can look back on my own wedding and think, gosh, half the groomsmen there were guys I met in college. You know, they became part of my family. When I was in Oklahoma, writing from that perspective, I had lunch with three of the guys that were in my wedding. It was important for me to be with my family. Even though my perspective going in, I didn't know any of them coming in, but yet we left as family because of the freedom to reach out and try and meet new people. Acts 8:26 is a story of Philip. And this is just two verses from that passage. It says, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he got up and went." And the reason I pulled that verse out to emphasize that time of freedom in our life, when we have a new opportunity to try new things, to do new things, to be challenged to that next step, that next level in our life, is that often God will say, you need to go do this. you need to try this. My response as a follower of Christ should be, okay, get up and go. Try it. May not be the ultimate steps that I take. It may not be the ultimate completed trip. But what we see Philip doing here in this passage is he listened to the Holy Spirit in the midst of his freedom, and then he obeyed. He took that next step. For him, it was to get up and go, because that's what he heard to do. And so this became, in my life during college, a time for opportunities like that, opportunities to step out, try new things, be obedient in what God had called me to do. And then the Philippians verse that I connected to that time in my life, because there's so much going on in this passage. And again, if you've heard me speak before, you've heard me use this passage. There's a lot there. It says, but rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and hear and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And so you see Paul writing to the Philippians and telling them, be anxious about nothing, even though what's not there is I know you're going to be anxious about stuff. But when you are, take it to prayer. Take it to God. Don't try to figure it out yourself. And so during this time of freedom in my own life, I had to turn to God. I was 18, 19, 20 years old. And I began figuring out, oh, mom and dad's not here anymore. My church isn't here anymore. All my good Christian friends aren't here anymore. I'm free to make the right choice. And so turning to prayer and begin doing those things, practicing those things that my foundation had taught me to do. So here's the question for you guys. Is your freedom challenging you toward opportunity? Or is that freedom that you have to live in Christ, is it distracting you from your priority of Christ? Okay? Because it should open up lots of things for us to do for him, for us to be challenged by what he wants us to do based on the gospel, based upon who we are in him as a follower of Christ. But if our foundation is bad, then a lot of times we'll turn to something else and it'll become a distraction to what God's really calling us to do. Failure is not fatal. Graham, Texas, my first working jobs, I should say. Many of you have heard my story. Did lots of things in Graham, Texas, from teaching to coaching to counseling to being a pastor to running a private school, all those things during my 26 years in Graham, Texas. Lots of successes, lots of things that went well, from coaching to making a difference in the lives of students that I dealt with in the school system. But there was failure too. Charles Dickens said this in Great Expectations. He said, that was a memorable day to me, for it made great changes in me. But it is the same with any life. Imagine one selected day, struck out of it, and think how different its course would have been. Pause, you who read this, and think for a moment of the long chain of iron and gold, of thorns or flowers, that would never have bound you, but for the formation of the first link on that one memorable day. So, in that midst of stepping out and obeying and being a part of God and being known in Graham, Texas, being looked at as somebody that had great success as a coach, that made a difference as a deacon at his church, and eventually a leader in the church, I was growing in this, making disciples. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I was doing that. I was making a difference in the lives of people. Obedience was a big thing for me. I learned how to do that, to hear God and to obey Him. Again, from Philippians, Paul says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, not because somebody's watching, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Okay? Oh, that was good. I was obeying. I was making a difference, investing and influencing many. In the spring of 1996, a friend of mine from the other church in town, the other Baptist church, and if you grew up Baptist, you know, you don't deal with people at the other church. But they came to me and they said, "Hey, Randy, we need somebody to come be our interim part-time youth minister for the summer." I said, "Sure, I think I can do that." The more we talked, and it sounded familiar. And before he got back to his car from that conversation, I said, "I'm going to do this." Which, again, in small town Texas, leaving one Baptist church and going to the other Baptist church created all kinds of havoc. You know, why is Randy leaving? What's he doing? They just couldn't understand. So I began doing that during that summer. But again, God said, "I want you to be there. I don't want you to just do this part-time. Have your life in one church and minister at the other church. I want you there." And I was working as a counselor at the high school. So now I'm a youth minister at one of the local churches while working at the local high school. You know, Brandon would die. Celebrate if he could have an office at a local high school. That was a special mix. I said multiple times during that year, "This is a perfect job. Perfect job. A youth minister with an office at the local high school. How could it get any better?" Well, we got a new student that fall from out of town. And one of the counselor's roles at a high school is to evaluate those transcripts, to look at them, make sure each student is going to graduate, and so you get them in the right classes and get those schedules straight. And we had a new person come in. He was a football player, so obviously we wanted to make sure it was right, that he was eligible. And so we did, everything's good. He's taking the right classes, and we went through the school year. Well, another part of the process is in around spring break or so, you start reevaluating those to make sure those seniors are ready for graduation. It's just part of what you do. Well, we got more eyes on those transcripts. We looked at them, we looked at them, we looked at them, and this student came up that we'd enrolled back in August. Now we're in the spring of 97. And we realize that this student, somehow, some way, with all the eyes on this transcript, we had missed two classes. The student wasn't going to graduate. Wasn't enough time. We only had weeks left in school. And at that time, they had just started in the state of Texas allowing you to test out of classes. Okay? Texas Tech. High school. That's what they called it then. I'm not sure what they call it now. So we got tests. We said, "Okay, I'm going to let this guy study." Gave him a book, gave him all the resources. "You pass these two tests, you can graduate." So I give him those tests. I said, I'll test him. Well, after he took the test, it came very evident that this student wasn't going to pass this test. And I felt awful. He wasn't going to graduate. He wasn't going to get to walk across the stage on graduation night. All the celebration that parents, grandparents, family get to celebrate, he wasn't going to do that because we messed up. And I even took it to another level and said, because I messed up. So I curved those grades all by myself. told no one. So when I submitted those tests back and said, yep, made 80 on that one and 84 on the other one, he gets to walk. Knowing all along he didn't pass those tests. He walks, everybody claps, celebrates, everybody was so excited for him at the football field as they walked across the stage, except one person sitting on the track in his suit and tie and going, he didn't pass. And the conviction as a follower of Christ overwhelmed me. So on Sunday afternoon, I called the superintendent and I say, hey, I need to sit down and visit, and told him what had happened. And his words were, he said, I knew that if Randy Bunyard told me the student passed, then he passed. Or Randy wouldn't be able to live with it. That's exactly what happened. My relationship with Jesus became more important in that failure than my job, than my reputation. So, not only did I have to meet with the superintendent, then I had to go before the school board, share the story all over again. And the school board president says, Randy, what do you think we ought to do? I said, you don't have to do anything. Here's my resignation. A week later, I had to go before the church that I'm now a part-time youth minister, share the same story again. Whatever I need to do, willing to do it, because my relationship with Jesus Christ is more important. Expecting them, they probably cut me loose too. But they didn't. They said, not only are we going to pray for you and we're going to support you, but we want you to come on full time with us. You're not going to work at the school any longer. We want you full time at the church. They believed in me. And while I'm writing this story as part of my memories in Graham, Texas, and I'm bawling, I mean, I can't even see the screen, just overwhelmed with emotion, how that one day, that one decision in my life changed everything, changed the whole direction of where I thought I would spend the rest of my life. And this song comes on. On a 100-set playlist, at that moment, this song comes on. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. So, at that moment, I was released of that failure in my life. I thought I'd already gotten through that. God says, no, you need to know who you are to me. And these words from Hillsong Worship gave me that peace that doesn't matter what I did so many years ago. It changed the whole direction of my life. That I'm who he says I am. So, what past failure are you allowing to impact your present and your future victories? And I know there's somebody here who's sitting in that. You're thinking, man, I did something, I just can't get over it. I can't get through it. Allow God to communicate to you who you are to him. Finishing takes faith. The move to Lubbock, been here for 17 years now. Toward the end of my life now. You know, I say that in front of my daughter and she gets mad at me, but the reality is it's true. You know, and there's perseverance involved in finishing. John Wooden, Mike's favorite coach of all time. Oh no, that's that guy on the East Coast that's his favorite coach of all time, right? Okay, wrong basketball coach. It's not so important who starts the game, but who finishes it. You know, a lot of us in this room, as I look out there, we're at all different stages of life. Some of us are closer to finishing than some others of you. But it's important that we finish strong. You know, I don't know how much time I have left, but what I wanted to make sure I do is finish well each and every day. Paul said this from Philippians. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold for which also was laid hold of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's word to each one of us, no matter where we are, whether we're still setting our foundation or we're in the midst of freedom or we're in the midst of a failure or success. We press on. We finish well. That's what Paul is telling them. And part of what I wanted to do during my sabbatical was, and I shared this, and I won't go back and share all this from what I told you in March, but from 2018 to 2022, I had a lot of losses in my life. Relational losses, people who were no longer in my life. And so I wasn't sure that I had dealt with all those losses in my life. That was one of my goals during this time of sabbatical was, God, I need you to confirm in me that I've grieved well. And again, all this music that could be playing when I get to that point to write about it and think about it, this is what comes up. For mercy me. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing. A little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing it is well with my soul. Again, confirmation through worship that I've still got you. You're good. You've grieved well. Lisa Turkhurst, most of you know, she's a speaker, writer. She dealt in the last 3 years, 5 years, 7 years with a lot of stuff in her life. And this is what she said about grief. Some say grief is something you just have to eventually get over. It's like a finish line. It has a starting point and an ending point. She says, that's not the way it is for me. She said, grief is a circle. So I'm standing here in this circle, this bright colored circle to symbolize what Lisa's talking about. Inside the rounded edges is where I go to work on accepting what will never be. Outside the edges is where a life still full of possibility exists. The secret isn't to get rid of the circle. New joy is found when the circle is incorporated with all of my other landscape. It's the part that sometimes leaks tears and other times produces blossoms that sway in the wind. See, I'll always take my circle with me of all those events that happened in my life of loss. Sometimes I go in it. Sometimes I step out of it and experience what life still has for me. It's always with me. Are you finishing with purpose and intent or comfortably coasting? Now, I'm talking specifically you 50 plus people right now because we have a temptation to coast. I had to fight the temptation of not being at a job for 60 days and going, you know, this is kind of nice. Not having these responsibilities, it really was a temptation. But I don't want to finish comfortably coasting. I want to finish with purpose and intent. The last thing I learned from my sabbaticals, friendships matter, relationships matter throughout all these stages of life, and that I have to initiate. A lot of times those don't just happen. I have to be the one to initiate, but they're all important. They matter. The people that I surround myself with. Helen Keller said this, "I would rather walk with a friend in the dark than walk alone in the light." You can think about those people in your life, that inner circle of friends that are important to you, that you depend on. You need those people. Some of you have a lot of them. Some of us just have a few, but we need them. They're important. They matter. In fact, Paul even opens the letter by saying, "I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." And what's not there, what's left out, what's understood, is that when Paul says, "in view of your participation in the gospel in my life," see, all those people that God crosses your path, that you end up engaging and being a part of their life and they're a part of your life, that they encourage you and challenge you. Understand that. God's put them there because of your participation in the gospel to encourage and challenge you. So here's your question to consider. Are you surrounding yourself with friendships that challenge and encourage you? Think about who those people are. Pray for them. Encourage them. Challenge them. Consider these things. Let's pray. God, I thank you for my time away, which seems like so long ago now, but it was a rich time of listening to you and seeking you out and letting you speak into my life, and you did it in so many different ways. You did it with music. You did it with people. You did it with remembering circumstances. You did it with reminding me how you've been faithful so often through my life. And that activity is good for all of us. God, to help us look back, to consider and reconsider and reconsider and celebrate how you've been a huge part of what you've pointed us to do and provided for us to do. Equipped us to do. God, I thank you for my relationship with you. Let each of us consider who you are in our life. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org, and we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.